Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 20, the structure of the universe, text 6 onwards. These few verses don't have any purport, so it goes up to 13th, that has some purport, so I'll just read to you. And these verses are in a prose form, so I'll just read them and read the translation. Plaksha Dishu Panchashu Purusha Naam Ayurindriya Majara Sahabalam Buddhi Vikramaha Niti Chashardi Shamamut Kattiki Shiddhi Ravi Sheshena Vartati. O King, longevity, sensory prowess, physical and mental strength, intelligence and bravery are naturally and equally manifested in all the inhabitants of the five islands headed by Plakshati. Plaksha so samani nekshur Osha Dina Brito Yatha Tathar Dito Pishvalvalo Deguna Vishvalo Shamanena Shura Dina Brito Paribhrikshi. Lakshadweep is surrounded by an ocean of sugarcane juice. Equal in breadth to the island itself. Similarly, there is then another island, Shalmanadweep, twice as broad as Plakshadweep, and surrounded by an equally broad body of water called Sura Sagara, the ocean that tastes like liquor. Yatra Hagai Shalvai Plakshayama Yasam Bhavakila Nilaya Mahur Bhagavatas Chandaha Sputaha Tatatri Rajasya Sar Deepa Hete Hutai Upalakshate. On Shalmani Deep, there is a Shalmani tree from which the island takes the name. That tree is as broad and tall as the Plaksha tree. In other words, 100 yojanas, 800 miles broad, and 1,100 yojanas, 8,800 miles tall. The learned scholars say that this gigantic tree is the residence of Garuda, the king of all birds and carrier of Lord Vishnu. In that tree, Garuda offers Lord Vishnu his Vedic prayers. Tad Devadipati Priyavratatmajo Jagvabhu Sarshit Sarsutibhya Saptabhras Tannamani Saptabarshani Vyar Bhajat Sura Chanam Shamanasam Ramanakam Devavarsham Parimadramat Payanamam Vidyatam Iti. The son of Maharaj Priyavrata named Jagvabhu, the master of Shalmani Deep, divided the island into 7 tracts of land, which he gave to his own 7 sons. The name of these divisions, which correspond to the names of the sons, are Surachan, Somanasya, Ramanaka, Devavarsha, Parihatra, Appauna, and Avidyata. Teshu Varsha Drayo Navhashna Naktascha, Shakta Vabhityata, Sarasaha, Satasringa, Vamadeva, Kunda, Mukunda, Pushpabhasha, Sahasra Suti Viti, Anumati, Srinivali, Sarasati, Kuhu, Rajani, Nanda, तरह की थी। On those tracts of land, there are seven mountains: Swarasa, Shatashringa, Vamadev, Kunda, Mukunda, Pushpavasha, and Sahasrastuti. There are also seven rivers: Anumati, Shinivali, Saraswati, Uhu, Rajani, Nanda, and Rapa. They are still existing. Tadbhasa Purusha, Shruta Dharo, Birja Dharo, Vasam Dharo, Sandha, Rasam Kha, Sangya, Bhagavantam, Deva Bhayam, Somam, Atmanam, Devena Jajanti. Strictly following the cult of Varnashram Dharma, the inhabitants of those islands who are known as Shruti Dharas, Birja Dharas, Vasam Dharas, and Isham Dharas all worship the expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, named Soma, the Moon God. Sa Goha Patri Devabhyo, Devajan Krishna Shuklaya, Prajanam, Sarvasham, Rajandha, Soma, Ma Astiti. Ma Astiti. The inhabitants of Sarvati worship the demigods of the moon in the following words: by his own rays, the moon god has divided the month into two fortnights, known as Shukla and Krishna, for the distribution of good food grains to the peoples and the demigods. The demigod of the moon is he who divides time, and he is the king of all the residents of the universe. We therefore pray that he may remain our king and guide, and we offer him our respectful obeisances. Evam saradad bahi stad devunaha saranenabhita grekadena jatha purvaha pushat deepa jasmin pushastambho devakrata stad deepakha karo jalana iva parahe Sam Sasparashitisha Desha Virajayati. Outside the ocean of Nika is another island known as Kushadip, which is 800,000 yojanas, 6,400,000 miles wide, twice as wide as the ocean of Nika. As Shalmanadip is surrounded by the Nika of ocean, Kushadip is surrounded by an ocean of liquid ghee as broad as the island itself. On Kushadip, there are clumps of kusha grass from which the island takes its name. This kusha grass, which was created by the demigods by the will of the Supreme Lord, appears like the second form of fire, but of a very mild and pleasing flame. Its young shoots dominate all directions. Our quote by Srila Prabhupada: from the descriptions in this verse, we can make an educated guess about the nature of the flames of the moon. Like the sun, the moon must also be full of flames, because without flames there cannot be illumination. The flames on the moon, however, unlike those on the sun, must be mild and pleasing. This is our conviction. The modern theory that the moon is full of dust is not accepted by the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. In regard to this verse, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Shushashpani Kushumala Shikhas Desham Rochasam. The kusha grass illuminates all directions, but its flames are very mild and pleasing. This gives some idea of the flames existing on the moon. Jnanatirandasya Jnananjana Shilataya Chakshurumetam Jnanam Tasmai Shri Gurave Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachamani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. I read the verse once again. Outside the ocean of Nectar was another island known as Kushati, which is 800,000 yojanas or 6,400,000 miles wide, twice as wide as the ocean of Nectar. As Shalmali Deep is surrounded by Nectar Ocean, Kushati Deep is surrounded by an ocean of liquid ghee, as broad as the island itself. On Kushat Deep, there are clumps of Kushat grass from which the island takes its name. The Kushat grass, which was created by the demigod by the will of the Supreme Lord, appears like a second form of fire, but with very mild and pleasing flames. Its young shoots illuminate all directions. So, the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us a very clear understanding of the structure of the universe. Hare Krishna. So, this description doesn't really properly confront with the, or rather conform with, doesn't come in line with the modern understanding of the universe. Actually, the modern understanding of the universe is very vague and unscientific. Whereas the Vedic informations are all very scientific. Vedas are absolutely scientific. Like the modern science say that moon is reflecting the light of the sun. Now, if we consider that the moon reflects the light of the sun, then we have to consider that the surface of the moon is like a mirror, because only a mirror reflects. The opaque object doesn't reflect. It's visible, but it doesn't reflect the light. And then they claim that they have gone to the moon, and according to the Vedic understanding, the moon is further away from the sun. Not that moon is rotating around the earth, but moon is the closest to the earth, closest luminary to the earth planet. But according to the Vedic understanding, the distance of moon is twice as much as that of sun. So these are just direct contradiction of the Vedic, the modern understanding. The Vedas are always very scientific. You see, even the things that are within our sense perception, Vedas are giving very, very clear understanding. Like, for example, the modern science doesn't accept the existence of the soul. The Vedas are not only saying that wherever there is life, there is a soul. Wherever there is consciousness, there is a soul. The latter state of the modern science, even in the West, those who accept this, accept the existence of the soul, their understanding is only human beings have soul. That animals, trees, plants don't have soul. So that shows that even those who accept the existence of soul do not have any clear understanding of what soul is. Whereas you see, what the Vedas are presenting, Vedas are actually giving us a very clear understanding. Not only different living entities have souls, but there are six symptoms of life. Wherever there is life, or wherever the soul is present in a body, there are six symptoms. Birth, growth, change, reproduction, decay, and death. Now take any living form, a tree, or an insect, or an animal, or a bird, or a reptile, or a human being. This principle applies. Wherever there is a living body, wherever there is a living entity, wherever there is a living being, must have been born. Like we see a tree, a seed falls on the ground, a seedling comes out. Then it grows. Growth. Then it changes. In autumn the leaves fall off. In spring new leaves come. In summer the flowers come on the tree. Then the flowers turn into fruits. The fruits, inside the fruit, there are seeds. And the seeds fall on the ground, another tree comes out. And then eventually the tree gradually starts to decay, when the tree becomes old, and then the tree dies. Whether it's an insect, whether there is a plant, whether there is an aquatic, whether there is a reptile or bird or animal, they all follow the same principle. Birth, growth, change, reproduction, decay, death. Six symptoms of life. And not only that, the Vedas are giving us a very clear understanding, different forms of life. How the living entities generate or are born from in different ways. They have divided that into four categories. One is Svedajas. Sveda, just as sweat comes from the body, the reproduction actually takes from the body itself. The lower species of life, the animals and so forth, and how do they multiply? How do they multiply? In the body, the nucleus divides, and then it becomes another. From the body itself, like sweat, reproduction takes place. Svedaja. They are Udbijas. From seeds, trees and plants, they generate from seeds. Then Andrajas, eggs, reptiles and birds and insects. Then reproduction takes place from eggs. And then Jaranajas, embryo. The animals and human beings, they are born out of embryo. This is how scientific the Vedic information is. In any sphere of the Vedic wisdom, we see that it's absolutely scientific. Like if you're going to the body, the Vedas through Ayurveda are giving us information that although the body is made of five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, but out of those five, three are very active in the human body. What are those three elements? Those three elements are water, fire, and air. This body is made of practically of water. About 3/4 of this body is water. Now there is fire. There is temperature in the body. So obviously there must be fire in the body. And what does the fire do? The fire digests the food. Fire of digestion or Jatharagni. That fire is situated in Jathara, at the base of the stomach. And that is actually digesting the food. The food that we eat, that is digested by the fire. So, water, fire, and air, by breathing, is very apparent symptom of this air in the body. And what do you have to do? Then they give the information, there are five types of air. Kamala, Apana, Samana, Vena, and Udana. And these five airs are controlling all the activities of the body. Prana is holding the soul within the body. When the prana leaves the body, then the body dies. In Bengali we say, or in Hindi also we say, Pran Tai Kureshi, or Pran Nikalaya. So prana is holding the soul. The soul is trying to go out of the body. Prana is pulling, pushing, pulling it back up. So this is how prana vayu is holding the soul within the body. And finally, prana says, okay, now you can go, then the soul leaves the body. Apana vayu is taking care of all the excretions of the body. Urination, evacuation, sweating, they all are function or they all are controlled by Apana Vayu. Then Samana Vayu. Samana Vayu, then Dana Vayu. Samana Vayu, forgot what it does. Dana actually controls the nervous system. The nerves are functioning to the Dana. And Udana. So those five airs are controlling the body. The activities of the body. This is how scientific these information are. So when Srimad Bhagavatam gives the information about the universal structure, why shouldn't we accept that it is absolutely scientific? Because everything that we have seen and that has been presented by the Vedas are scientific. If all the information from the Vedas are scientific, then why this description will not be scientific? Why should this be imaginary? But not only that, the Vedas are giving, here there are the descriptions of the Bhumanda. This part is giving the description of Bhumanda. Bhumanda has seven islands and seven oceans. Each island is surrounded by an ocean. And the central island is Jambudvip, where we are situated. And it is surrounded by saltwater ocean. This island is surrounded by saltwater ocean. Beyond Jambudvip, there is another island called Pakshad. That island is surrounded by sugar water. It's sugar pinches or sugar water. Beyond that is Shalmani. That is surrounded by liquor, ocean of liquor. That is the description that this verse is given. Shalmani Deep is surrounded by liquor. There is an island called Kusha. That is surrounded by ghee, clarified butter, ocean of ghee. So each island is surrounded by different types of ocean. Those oceans are Yavan, Iksu, Sara, Sharpi, Dugdhi. Next one is surrounded by more ocean. Your body surrounded by an ocean of yogurt. And finally, the seventh island, Pushkar Deep, is surrounded by pure water. So seven islands in Brahmanda, surrounded by seven oceans. And those islands are, the central island is Jambudvip, then Pakshadvip, Shalmalikdvip, Pushkardvip, then Pushkar, Pyaosa, then Shark, and then Pushkar. Very, very clear understanding. And then this is, the description doesn't stop here. It goes above Brahmanda, Bhuvanloka, the Bhuvanloka. Then beyond Bhuvanloka, there is Swargaloka, Swargaloka, the heavenly planet. And beyond heavenly planet is Mahaloka, where the center personality, sages, there is one. Then beyond Rajana Loka, more elevated sages live there. And at the time of annihilation, when the heat reaches all the way up to Mahaloka, then the residents of Mahaloka leave Mahaloka and go to Jhanaloka. Then beyond Jhanaloka is Tapaloka, where the four Kumaras reside with their associates. And beyond Tapaloka is Sataloka, the abode of Lord Brahma. That is the topmost planet. Shri 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 Radha Madhava Shivan Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Shri 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 Brahma Ki Jai. Shri Shri Pandha Nishina Devi Ki Jai. Shri Shri Pancha Tattva Ki Jai. Jagat Guru Shri Pada Ki Jai. So, not only they are giving the description of the upper planetary systems, there are also lower planetary systems. Subterranean heavenly planets, that's how they have been described in the fifth canto. They're like heavenly planets, lower planetary systems, are subterranean, they're underground. The sun's light doesn't reach there. Therefore, they're in darkness. But they're not in darkness. They're lit up by the gems, the jewels of the serpents. There are huge snakes with huge jewels on their heads. And those jewels actually light up those planets. And there are seven low planetary systems. So in this way we can see that the Vedas are giving us such a clear understanding of the universal structure. And that's what Srila Prabhupada actually wanted us to present in the Vedic planetarium. Now, the structure of the universe, according to the descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam, according to the descriptions of the Vedas. They will challenge you, they don't come in line with our visible perception. How much can we depend upon our senses that are defective to begin with? Now, with our human eyes, we are seeing things in a certain way. The insects see things in another way. How does a bee see things? A bee sees everything as hexagonal. That's why they make their honeycombs all hexagonal. And how we have to understand how insignificant we are. And we can consider that if you go and tell an ant what is happening in the human society. Not on the Andrew believer to understand, or the Andrew believer. This is all, I mean, this is all fairy tales. Human beings know there can't be any physical reality. Because the end sees things from his own limited antish perspective. In this respect, I will give the example of a frog. A frog lives in a well, small little well. Now, when somebody comes and tells the frog about an ocean, about a vast body of water, what is the frog's response to that? Is it twice as big as this room? Is it 3 times, 4 times, 20 times, 100 times, 1,000 times as big as the ocean? But from the perspective of the world, the ocean cannot be understood. Someone with a limited perspective, we should not try to judge the inconceivable affairs that have been designed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and controlled by the demigods. With our limited perception, we won't be able to understand. Therefore, the safest course of action is to accept whatever has been presented in the demigods. That is what is expected. Just accept. If it is possible to understand intellectually, fine. But if it is beyond our sensual and intellectual premise, then we have to accept it. Well, must be true. It's not possible for us to go to Swargaloka or Maharloka or Jayaloka, or even this planet, Bhumanda, this plane. I mean, the descriptions are beyond our comprehension. We are simply limited by surrounded by a tract of land called Jamudip, surrounded by saltwater ocean. But beyond that, there are 6 other islands. So it is important that we accept them with simple faith. And the main thing is, it's not really important. I heard the Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned, I didn't read it, I heard it from one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. Srila Bhaktivinoda was very close to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that the 5th canto is a trap for the materialist not to go further. Because those who are too materially motivated, they will try to figure out everything of the 5th canto through the sense perception or intellectual means. And they get stuck. They won't be able to go beyond that. They won't be able to go to the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th, and so forth. And so it's a trap. If you're too materially motivated, get stuck. Spend your life, whole life, trying to figure out what has been presented in the 5th canto, and whether it is right or wrong. But the safest course of action, go through it. This is the description. Our goal is not this universe. Our goal is beyond the universe. So why should we be so concerned about the affairs of this universe, so the structure of the universe? It has been presented, okay, in course of time we will see. As Srila Sanatana Goswami presented in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the journey, second part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the journey of Gop Kumar, a cowherd boy, back to the spiritual family. And yes, he went through different planetary systems. From Earth planet, he went to heavenly planet. Then Maharloka, Jamaloka, Kapiloka, Saptaloka, he even became Brahma. He had the position of Brahma. And then he goes out of the universe. Then he sees the 7 layers of the universe. the different elements of the universe in the causal form, earth, water, fire, air, ether, intelligence, and false mind, and false ego. And then, finally, the eighth layer is the layer of material nature. And Mother Nature personified Mahamaya there, worshipping the Mohini Murti of the Lord. And there, Maya Devi is testing the living entity. Why leave? Stay here. Enjoy with me. Look, what an inconceivable arrangement for enjoyment. But what did Gopkumar do? Offered obeisances, saying, please allow me. Please bless me that I can go and reach the lotus feet of your brother. This Krishna is the brother of Muhammad. And then she allows him to go. And then he goes beyond that, Brahmajyoti, beyond that, Mahadham, Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, Dwarka, Vrindavan. So that is what really matters to us, how to go back to Godhead. Not get stuck here to figure out whether the presentation of Srila Bhagavatam is right or wrong. Why should it be wrong? Why these saintly personalities, such exalted personalities, why they would mislead us with wrong information? They are our genuine well-wishers. They are naturally giving us that. The authentic information for our own benefit. And this way we can see how wonderful the creation of the Lord is. Thank you very much. Our Lord is to Srila Prabhupada. Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Hari. Any comment or does anybody have any question? Yes, Jenny. Yes, Prabhu. Say the different levels, how the structure of the planets are is known, but this is the levels of, like, this is the level where Bhumandal is situated. But beyond that is Bhuloka, Bhuloka. Then above that is Swarloka. Like, the planets are, or the things are, they may be around. But the plane that they are existing is one plane. Like, naturally, we see all the luminaries are actually round. So that gives us a clear understanding that the planets are round, but the existence of those specific planets are on a plane, on a certain plane. Thank you. Thank you, Jyotir Aspada. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Yes.
By how the enemy
us and our perception of the universe. I was told, just like we keep cows in a corral, and because we're the superior being and they're the inferior being, so we keep cows in a corral, and they can't go beyond those fences. So I've heard people say that the demigods or higher beings, they only allow us to see so much, like we're in a corral or in a fenced in area. Is that true?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, because apparently it is a matter of different levels of perception or perception that are related. Like our perception, like if you consider light, although the light has unlimited range, right? But our perception is only between violet and red. Right? Although there is ultraviolet and infrared, but we don't see them. But the cats can see them. That's why they can see at night. The cats can see. Like what appears to be darkness to us is light for them. So this is how different bodies have different sense perceptions, limiting them to that dimension.
The reason I ask that question is because a lot of the ones say that we went to the moon, but the thing is we can't perceive what the moon is really where it is. Even if we did send a rocket there, there's devotees who say it like that.
Well, I mean, our taking back is they didn't go to moon. They didn't go to moon. Like when they were actually, Prabhupada was in London at that time, and the TV was actually telecasting the moon landing. Prabhupada was having a massage, which is back towards the TV, and when the devotees were talking about moon landing, Prabhupada, even without looking at it, he said, they never went to moon. They never went to moon. Now, today, I remember not only today, about 15 years back, a Gallup poll was taken in America asking how many of them believe in moon landing. And about 33% replied that they don't believe. They didn't believe that they went to moon. So even in America, a good number of people do not accept that they went to moon. Well, that's another thing. We don't really want to delve into that and waste our time. We simply take it. Whether moon is closer or further, doesn't really matter to us. But since Bhagavatam is saying that moon is further away, we accept it as further. Since Bhagavatam is saying that the moon has flame, but it is cold flame. Sun's flame is hot, but moon's radiation is cold. But it is luminous, so there must be light coming from it. This is a luminous planet. Like we see all the stars, they're luminaries. So moon also is luminous. Okay, let's stop now. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.